Well, my name's Matthew. And by the end of today, you would have heard from Matthew, Mark, Neil, and John. So almost the whole gospel. Luke, why haven't you said anything? All right. So if we could have our slide up. Today I want to talk about the fourth man. And it's not the fourth man that Mark's already mentioned. It's a different fourth man. And I want you to turn in your Bibles. We're going to start in Daniel chapter 2, actually. And look at this great story in the Old Testament, which there's so much relevance that we can take out of that for ourselves here today in 2019. I want us to go to chapter 2, verse 46. And this is just a little prelude into what I'm going to talk about in chapter 3. So Daniel chapter 2, 46. And what has happened in this chapter, or the first and second chapters of Daniel, is that King Nebuchadnezzar has come in and just invaded Jerusalem. He's wrecked the city and he's taken captives back to Babylon. Now, when you think about it, Jerusalem is the spiritual capital of the world. Yet Babylon is also a spiritual capital of the world. And it's like Jerusalem stands for God and goodness and all that is good, whereas Babylon stands for the world, evil, all that is anti-God. And it's interesting how, because the children of Israel had sinned and fallen into idolatry time after time, and God had allowed the enemy to come in and actually ransack Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar had taken people back with him. He'd stripped everything out of the palace and the temple, taken it back to Babylon. So we now have King Nebuchadnezzar. He's built this great empire of Babylon. And he has this dream. And all his magicians and all his soothsayers and all his mediums, they couldn't interpret the dream because he wouldn't tell them what the dream was. He said, if you guys know your stuff, then you're going to come and you're going to tell me what the dream is, then you're going to interpret it. And if you can't, I'll put the lot of you to death. So it gets to the final hour and no one can interpret the dream. And then Daniel, who was one of the young men who was taken from Jerusalem, steps up. And he tells the king not only the interpretation of the dream, he tells him what he actually dreamed. And in verse 46, after he'd done that, chapter 2, then King Nebuchadnezzar, he fell prostrate before Daniel and he paid him honor and he ordered that an offering and an incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of mysteries. For you were able to reveal this mystery. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position, lavished him with many gifts, made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon, placed him in charge of all his wise men. And moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. It's interesting because we're going to look at chapter 3, but if you follow on and look at chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar has just had this incredible encounter with God, and yet it didn't change his life. He didn't end up having a personal relationship with God. He saw God's power and had this incredible moment. But if you read chapter 4, there's at least another 8 years of incredible circumstances that the king goes through before he actually finally realizes that God is the God of heaven. There's a difference between having an encounter with God and having a relationship with him. That's what Nebuchadnezzar had. He had an encounter with God, but he didn't have a relationship with him. It didn't change his life. He knew of God. He'd seen his power, but it didn't affect his life, his ongoing life, his ongoing relationship. So we've now got, we're into chapter 3. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Ben... Did anyone call that guy Bendigo when you're a Bendigo when you're a kid? The story about Shadrach, Meshach, and the guy from Bendigo. They were also three young men that were taken from Jerusalem, like Daniel. And now they're now in a position of power in Babylon. Men of God, godly men in positions of power in Babylon. It's like the center of the spiritual universe to the center of the worldly thinking. Yet God had put them there for a reason. All right, so let's pick up the story in Daniel 3. So King Nebuchadnezzar makes this image of gold. It's 60 cubits high and it's 6 cubits wide. And he sets it up in the plain in Babylon, this huge, massive gold statue. And when all the musical instruments starts playing, everyone's got to bow down and worship this statue. So they herald it out and they say, okay, when the music starts, everyone does this. And whoever does not fall down and worship the statue will be thrown into a blazing furnace. So this is about worldly thinking. This is about a king that wants power. This is about everyone's got to bow down and do as he says. And if you don't, that's okay. No, actually, if you don't, you're going to die. That's how he ruled. That's how he reigned. So it gets to a point where these young men were rulers of the province. For someone that had been taken captive, they were looked after. They were well fed. They were in a position of power. And life was pretty good. Sometimes we can go through life and have a season where life is just really good. You're just feeling blessed. You're just, things are going well. There's no problems. And then all of a sudden, life can throw you a curveball. Anyone ever happened that to them? We were, as Melissa mentioned last week, we just come back from a cruise. And we've been back a couple of weeks. So we had a 9-day cruise where we went out to Vanuatu and a few islands out there. And so we're on a cruise and everyone's on the boat and they're having a holiday and they're having a great time. And it's just a fantastic setting. We're in the restaurant one night and the waiters started breaking out and doing this song. So I think it was about night 7, and in between the main and dessert, we're in the restaurant doing the Macarena, or trying to. I'm always about 2 steps behind. I'm like the echo dancer. And the next night, the waiter grabs Melissa and they're doing the chicken dance together. So everyone's having a great time. Everyone's having a ball. You know, life is good. But throughout the course of that cruise, as we got to know people and have conversations with them, you realise everyone's got a story. Life isn't always great. Life isn't always good. We had a waiter. We sat on the same table every night. Beautiful man from the Philippines. Just incredible man. I reckon he was so gracious and kind and polite. He must have been Eldrin's cousin, I reckon. He was amazing. And every night he'd know us by name and he'd look after us and I recommend this for you, Miss Melissa. And he was just an incredible man. Yet as we got to talk to him, the man who had a smile on his face every day, every meal, worked 7 days a week, 11 or 12 hours a day for 7 months straight. And then he would get to go home and be with his family, to be with his wife and his boys that he's putting through university. And yet he was so thankful to have a job. And we're thinking, wow. You know, this is the stories behind the cruise where everyone's laughing and having a great time. We met another couple. Beautiful couple, and we just got to talk to them and get to know them a little bit, and yet they had a story. 18 years ago, they tragically lost their son in an accident, but the way they were talking about it was like it had just happened. See, everyone had a story, And sometimes as you're sitting there, you're thinking, how do I respond to this? All I can do is encourage them to run to God, not from God. Everyone's got a story. And sometimes we get these curveballs in life. And now we've got these three young men that are dragged before the king. And they're told that if you don't bow down and worship this image, this God that I've set up, you are going to die. And I love the response that these guys have. Because they understood that life isn't always a bed of roses. So they come before the king. And he's telling them that if you don't do this, you're going to die. They'd been dragged there because they were Jewish. They'd been dragged there because people were upset with them, that they wouldn't bow down, that they wouldn't go with the flow, that they had a relationship with a living God and it didn't fit in with Babylon. It didn't fit in with the culture, with the crowd, with everything that was going on. Do you realize that the Jews were God's chosen people and yet the enemy wanted to take them out? While we were also on the cruise, we ended up watching a show on TV one night. And a pastor took his son to visit a little old lady who lived in the neighborhood. As they were there that night, she was reaching for something and her sleeve came up. And on her arm was tattooed a number. And the boy sort of saw it and she quickly covered up and said, "I've got to go," and sent them home. The boy later understood that what that number meant was that she was in a concentration camp as a young girl. And in Auschwitz, which was in Poland, there was three camps. And during 1940 to 1945, when she was taken there, the SS killed approximately 960,000 Jews. And there's about 1.2 million people taken into that camp. And of all those that died, nearly a million of them were Jewish. And that little old lady went to school with that young boy and sat in front of his class and told her horrific story. So here we are, thousands of years later, and the enemy is still trying to wipe out the Jewish nation. You see, Jerusalem is still the spiritual center of the earth. You look at every end time prophecy, you look at, you know, end time events. It's all still centers around Jerusalem. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem coming out of heaven. It's so critical to everything that happens. And the enemy's still trying to take it out. But now we've come from just being God's chosen race to we're the Gentiles. We're all God's children. We're all God's sons and daughters. And we're all going to face this sort of things that come to us in life sometime. But I love these guys, their response. In verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, this is what they replied to King Nebuchadnezzar. They said, "We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter." This boldness of these young guys. "If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it." Imagine having faith like that. You're about to get thrown into a furnace, get burned up like a crisp and die, all because you just won't go with the flow. All because you're too different. All because you stand out. All because you want to worship a God. And your principles and the things that you stand up are more important than your life. "If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us." Note this, King, he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. "But even if he does not, We want you to know, Your Majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. In other words, king, ruler of the earth, most powerful, important man in the world at that time, you need to understand we will not bow down. Amen? That must have taken guts. Jenna referred to this a couple of weeks ago, and at the end of this service, we're going to sing a song that we sang then that sort of encompasses this whole story. And I want you to understand that these guys would not back down. If you're sitting here today and you're going through something in life, and we all will at some point, but you may be going through a season in life where you're facing something incredible. I mean, these guys, they were facing losing their life, and yet they didn't give up. They still had their faith. They still had boldness. They still relied on a God who they served, and they had such a faith and a trust in Him that they knew He was going to bring them through. But they were prepared to stand up and say, even if He doesn't, we're still going to serve Him. We're not going to bow down. We would rather die than deny our faith. Man, who wants to be like that? You know, we may go through our lifetime and we may face things and we may even have persecution. But who knows? We may never ever have to get to a point where we've got to deny our faith or be killed. And you go through the history, and there were so many people that were martyred for their faith because it was more important to them to lose their life than to lose their faith and their relationship in their God. I want to encourage you today that whatever you go through, you need to be grounded in the Word of God. You need to be grounded in relationship with Him. Don't be like Nebuchadnezzar, who saw these incredible miracles and yet it didn't change his life. He saw what Daniel did for him, and yet the next step he did was he's building his own kingdom and his own statues and bow down and worship, and he just didn't get it. I encourage you today, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, your God is the God who can deliver you. Don't ever back down. Don't ever give up. Don't ever go with the flow because it's easier. So these guys are now getting bound and they're getting dragged and taken to the furnace. And I could just imagine at that point, it's a little bit like what happened last night. We get to that point and it's like, in their minds and in the relationship with God, it's just like the Salvation Army Melbourne staff band begin to play. And out walks Sylvie Palladino and says, whatever happens, it is well with my soul. And if you were there last night and you were in that moment, that was incredible. And that's what it would have been like for these guys. Whatever happens, whatever my lot, it is well with my soul. King, we're not bowing down. We're not bowing down. We're not bowing down. So they get up there and they throw these guys into the furnace. And they heated it so hot that the flames come out and it killed all the men that threw them in. Then an incredible thing happens. We get to verse 24. And the king, who's watched all this happen, says that King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and he asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? And they replied, certainly, Your Majesty. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the fourth one looks like the son of the gods. What an incredible miracle that had just happened. And you know what? If they'd backed down, if they'd given up, if they said, well, we'll just worship this God, but it doesn't really mean anything. We still love God. We'll still follow Him. We'll just have to do this to save our lives. They didn't do that. And because of their obedience, a miracle has just happened. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the blazing furnace and he shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out." So they came out unharmed, said their hair was not singed, their clothes did not smell like smoke. If you've ever had a house fire or been through a fire, you might be able to save some things that didn't get burnt. But actually, most of the stuff that you save smells so much like smoke that you've got to throw it out anyway. These guys walked out and they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. And this touched the king so much that he said in verse 29, "Therefore I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces, the houses turned into a pile of rubble, and for no other God can save in this way." Wow, that was a big turnaround, wasn't it? You got to worship that image and bow down or you're dead. And now if you don't serve the God of these guys, I'm going to cut you into pieces. This king didn't mince words, did he? Ben, I want you to come up because we're about to do something really special right now. Thanks, guys. These guys walked out not because there's anything special about them. They walked out of the furnace because of the fourth man that was in there with them. So who is this fourth man? Who is this man that came in their time of crisis and delivered them? Who is this fourth man that they had relationship with, that's why he turned up? Who is this fourth man that they had such awe and respect and honor and worshipped that they were willing to lose their lives because of him? Today, we're going to talk about this fourth man. And this fourth man has many names and many titles. I'm about to read out 50 of his names and titles. And as I read them out, if there's one that resonates with you, I want you to stand up and just begin to worship and praise him. All right? Because for some of you, he's your healer. For some of you, in situations that you're facing in life right now, he's your rock. For others, he could be your deliverer. For others, he could be your savior. So I just, as I read these names out about who this fourth man is, I want you to just jump to your feet when you hear one that resonates for you. Amen? All right. And then when we get to the end of that, we're going to have a great shout of praise. Tommy, get the drums ready. I want you to go bananas on them, all right? So let's build this thing. We've got 50 to go, all right? So when one comes up that resonates for you about who this fourth man is, I want you to jump to your feet. All right. He is our Almighty One. Amen? He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is our Advocate. He is the Author and the Perfecter of our faith. He is our Healer. He is our Authority. He is the Bread of Life. He is the Beloved Son of God. He is the Bridegroom. He is the Chief Cornerstone. He is our Deliverer. He is faithful and true. He is the Good Shepherd. He is the Great High Priest. He is the Head of the Church. He is the Holy Servant. He is the Great I Am. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is an indescribable gift. He is the Judge. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lamb of God. He's the Light of the World. He's the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He's the Lord of all. He's the Mediator. He's the Messiah. He's the Mighty One. He's the One who sets me free. He is our hope. He is our peace. He is the Prophet. He is our great Redeemer. He is the risen Lord. He's my rock. He's the sacrifice for our sins. He is my Savior. He is the Son of Man. He is the Son of the Most High. He's the Supreme Creator of all, the resurrection and the life. He is the door. He's the way. He's the Word. He's the true vine. He is the truth. He is the victorious one. He's Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His name is Jesus! Hallelujah! Oh Lord, let's worship him. Oh! Hallelujah. Lord, Jesus, the fourth man, his every name, his every title, and he's so much more than we've just worked out there. We've just called out. But for each and every one of us today, he may mean something special to you right now with what you're facing or what you're going through. So Lord, we just lift up our hands to you today. We say, Jesus, Lord, you are God. You are everything. Lord, and it's more important for us to have a relationship with you so that you would bring us through everything and anything that this life may throw at us. Lord, I couldn't imagine going through life and facing the things that I've faced if I didn't have a relationship with you, if you didn't bring me through. Lord, you're more important to me, Lord, than life, because without you, I have no life. So Lord, today I just pray for every person that's in this place with their hands raised, Lord, that you would come, Lord, and you would be that healer, Lord. You would be that redeemer, Lord. You would be that salvation. You would be that rock. You would be whatever that you need to be to each and every person exactly where they're at, because you are everything to all of us. And Lord, we praise you today. We thank you, Lord, that fourth man was not just a man, but he was Jesus, the Son of God. And he caused a miracle and he delivered them out. And I pray, Lord, you would deliver each and every person here today, whatever they may face. Lord, if it's their mind, give them peace. Lord, if it's sickness, Lord, bring healing. Lord, bring a miracle. Oh God, whatever they're facing today, whatever we're facing, Jesus, you are the answer. You are the answer. Hallelujah. Let's just worship as they lead us in this song. Thank you.